Well, it's good to have Jocelyn back, her and Mark, the Roberts family. They were on a long road trip. How many kilometers again was it? 14,000 kilometers. They went back and forth and hinted back and forth all day. That's all they did. No, they went to Ontario. They had a great time, and it's good to have them back as well. And so it's always good to be able to get away and create those memories and see family and friends as well. On that note, in terms of just the summer coming up, as we are heading into that season, school is almost done, and I think I hear teachers saying amen somewhere. Perhaps the students are saying the same thing. And as we enter the summer, as we think about camp, the camp that we support here, Ross Haven, I had a meeting with Greg, the camp director, this week, and it's good to see him and just talk about camp and what's going on there. If you have time this summer, head over there and help him out, whether it's for a few days, maintenance work, or in the kitchen, or cabin leader, whatever the case may be, he would love that. We as a family are planning to go out for a few days to help out too, sometime over the summer, so we encourage you to head out there as well to help Greg out. And as we wrap up today, our conversation on mental health and what that's looked like, this will be our last Sunday on this, and then starting next Sunday, and this will be kind of the idea for the summer, as we'll have guest speakers come in as well. We're going to be looking at just some spiritual disciplines that Jesus had modeled and what that means for us and what that looks like. So next week, we'll be looking at solitude and how Jesus practiced that. And so that will be where we'll be headed over the summer. And as guest speakers come in, they'll be speaking about different things as well. Now, as I know, we've talked about mental health, and it's a conversation that's needed to be happening for a long time. I know many are having those conversations in the privacy of their own homes and for coffees and lunches and all those sort of things. But as a church, that's not always talked about. And I've been in touch with a Christian psychologist out of Edmonton, and he was very encouraged that we were doing this, because what his goal right now is to meet with pastors and churches to really bring this conversation to the forefront. So I think it's an important conversation that we've had today and we've been having over the last few weeks, but we'll continue moving forward into the fall as we look at different care groups and some resources we'll be plugging into as we consider that. I know this week I had two very heavy meetings with some families that are going through some very difficult times. And you may not think what people are going through as you see them day to day or rub shoulders with them, but there are many who are just at their wit's end with things that are happening. And a lot of it is very difficult. And I think we've all gone through things. We may not broadcast those things. We may not share them publicly, but we all have gone through something in our life. And maybe you're in that season today where you are dealing with something, where it's something that is, again, keeping you up at night. Perhaps you've been praying about something, a cloud that's overhanging your spirit, your life every day. And even as believers, we go through these things. We are not going through this life without those problems, and we have to understand that. As we look at the psalm this morning, Psalm 88, it's actually considered a very depressing psalm. It's considered the saddest psalm in the book of the Bible, and many theologians think that, and it is coming from the context of a person who's talking about going through despair in their life, and it's there in Scripture. And so the beautiful thing about this is we can have this dialogue. We can talk about these things. It isn't that we have to always pretend that we're doing okay. And that's one of the key things about having this conversation, is that we no longer need to pretend anymore. Because when we pretend and we put on this facade that we have it all together, that sometimes, without us knowing it, puts pressure on everybody else to think like we all have to have it together as well, because no one else seems to be struggling. And that's the reality of our life. We are struggling with things, and that's okay. The thing is, what do we do about those things? And there is an enemy of our soul who wants us to be despairing on our own, to not consider that we are in community, that Jesus can help us. Others can come alongside as well. And let's consider that. So Psalm 88. The verses will be on the screen. If you have your Bible or your device, you can turn there as well. Again, this is a psalm that is shadowed with despair. Let's read. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You've taken from me my closest friends and made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do the spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I've been born your terror and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken me from me, friend, and my neighbor's darkness, my closest friend. And that's how it ends. Now this psalm we see is a song. It's a song that is regarded as, again, one of the most saddest psalm in all the collections. Psalm 88 is a contemplation. It's a contemplatory life. It's talking about this idea that things are hard. And it's almost like a Job kind of conversation. We think about Job and things he went through. And that's what we see in the psalm as well. The author of this psalm was a singer. And he's Heman the Ezraite and the Israel worship leader. And in this psalm, we see that this writer is complaining that his life is miserable, even to the point of death. And that's what we're seeing here in the scripture. We see in verses 1 and 2, Lord, you're the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. Now, what's interesting about this psalm, as dark as it is, it starts here with the salvation story, doesn't it? It starts that God who saves me, that we know that God can save us. We know God can still walk us. Even the darkest of times, and we've seen the psalmist's writing, this writer is going through some very difficult times. He is still reminding himself that God is still my salvation. Even in the midst of crying out day and night, that God is still his salvation. There's a moment of understanding who he is in is this person's life. And they remember the remembrance of Jesus. And in our lives too, when we think about the dark things we go through, remember the God of our salvation. Remember what he's done for us. Remember the small glimmers of hope we have, even in the midst of darkness. And we see that here. It talks about letting our prayer come before you. This prayer is passionate. It's a prayer that happens in the day and the nighttime. It's a crying out of sorts. The psalmist was desperate for God, bending his ear towards him in prayer. Have we done that in our life where we are just bending our life towards God in such a way that we are in despair, but we are still reminded of God's salvation in our life? Have we done that where we are bending our ear to such a point where we know our prayers are being spoken out to him both day and night, and we turn to him with our heart's cry? I know we do that, and I hope we're doing that, because we need to understand that we're called to do that. It goes on to say that I'm overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from the grave. Now we read this agony this person is feeling. It's not a superficial feeling. It's in the depths of their soul. Like, it's right there. And it's threatening their physical nature, their emotional nature, and their spiritual nature as well. And we see that clearly here. And it goes on to say, I can't do this anymore. I can't go on. And feeling so weak and afflicted, this person is saying that, almost feeling like they were already with the dead. There's such despondence here. There's such despair. Have we ever felt that way in our life, where we are so overwhelmed with trouble that we just don't know what to do? And we can relate to these words, where our soul is just physically exhausted with what we are going through. In a recent conversation with a family that I had, in particular, those are the words they were using. That they are physically worn out with what they are dealing with right now. And the emotion is overwhelming them. and they're at a loss for what to do. And the tears and the pain and the agony they're feeling today is so real. And you know people that are going through like that. You perhaps are there. Maybe not to that extreme, but maybe that's what you're feeling this morning. You put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You've overwhelmed me with all your waves. Now, what we're seeing here, that the writer is essentially saying that God himself has caused this downfall. That's why they are in the depths. And if you look at the scriptures here, in verses 6 and 7, it talks about this idea of there's this punishment going on. And in verses 5 and 6 and verses 3 and 5, there's a difference in what's going on. It talks about the I. You know, I am overwhelmed. I am counted among you. I am set apart. And then the tone changes when you get to the rest of the verses in verses 6 and 7. What does it say? It says, you have put me, your wrath, you have put me in the lowest pit. There's this change of perspective that the focus is no longer on this person, but it's all about you, God, and what you've done. You put me in this position. And we see that here. But is that the case? And how often have we done it in our own lives where we are feeling punished by God for our choices? Now, there are consequences to our choices. I have said often, we cannot choose our sin. We can choose our sin, but we can't choose our consequences. We have to understand this as well. Sometimes we feel we are being punished by God, whether or not God is punishing us because of what we're going through. Perhaps you felt that way. But how many of us have dared to ask God that question? To come before him in such a profound way, in our nakedness, in our weakness, and have that conversation with him with this prayerful attitude that models this idea that we are weak, that we cannot make this happen. We cannot do this on our own. I am feeling overwhelmed. I am feeling abandoned. And I think sometimes we're afraid to say those things because if another believer heard you say that, they would question your salvation. Have you ever been there? Where you feel so desperate that you feel like you can't even say, where is God in the mix of all this? Because you might feel judged or condemned for saying that. I think we've said that in our lives before. And I think sometimes what happens is, and it's not because we're blaming God, and maybe some of us have, but we're able to express the rawness of our heart and how we really feel. I think sometimes in the church and as Christians, we aren't as honest as we should be with Jesus. We put on the spiritual hats. We say all the right things, but we're so afraid to come to the Lord in our nakedness and our honesty about where we're struggling with, what we're depressed about, what we're sad about, what we're overwhelmed about. We see this here in the scripture that we are allowed to do that. That in this moment of despair, we can come before Jesus and say, Lord, I cannot do this. And feeling overwhelmed with tears, that's a part of the journey we're in together. And sometimes we in the church, we don't allow people to do so because we feel like, well, I just don't feel safe enough to do that. I want to encourage you this morning that if you are in a place today where you are so despaired, but you haven't had that conversation with Jesus to let him know how you feel, you can do so. You can absolutely do so. Amen? That is the God we serve. We can come before him and do this. I remember I went to Bible school years ago. I came to faith when I was 21 years old, Bible school, 1991. I won't get into all the details today. I went to a Bible school. My parents didn't know I was going to Bible school. If they found out, that would have been bad. Went to Bible school. In 8 months, I had more things happen to me than a lot of people have in their lifetime. I won't get into all the details today, but it was by far the hardest 8 months of my life, even to this day. And I'm thankful I went through it because it helped me grow in my faith. But in the moment of all the things that were going on, and every time the phone rang in our dorm room, and the phone was for me, the automatic response for everybody in the school that found out They would just stop and pray because they knew it was more bad news. And it was literally week after week after week of terrible news. Not just my own life, what I was going through. They thought I had cancer at one point. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. My appendix almost ruptured. I won't go into the rest of it. There's so much that happened. And I just came to faith. And I remember one day, we had a prayer room in our dorm. And I went to the prayer room, I shut the door. And I had the most honest, brutal conversation with Jesus I've ever had in my entire life. I was on my knees. I was weeping. And I was weeping. And I was calling out to God. And I asked the question, where are you in the midst of all of this? And I lamented for hours and hours and hours. It was one of the most powerful moments of my spiritual life. I didn't disrespect Jesus. I didn't condemn him. But I stretched up my heart to him. And in that moment, I just felt the resonating power of the Holy Spirit in my life comforting me. Now, did my circumstances change after that? No. They actually got worse. More things continued to happen. And people, even to this day, when they realize what took place, they still are shocked to this day that I'm still following Jesus because of what I went through. And the only reason I continue to follow Jesus is because of Jesus. Because of what he is and what he's done for me and who he is. Now, I share that with you because we sometimes can't escape life and we have to be able to have these kind of conversations. Verse 8 says, you have taken me from me, my closest friends, and have made me repulsive to them. I confine and cannot escape. We're seeing this person is feeling this pressure, the stretch out hands of their life and wondering what is going on and asking diligently for help. Friends have walked away. People have walked away. I had people say to me in my life when my dad had his second affair when I was living in Calgary at this Bible school, I had somebody had the audacity to say to me at this Bible school, God is punishing you because of your dad's affair. What? What? And I think sometimes we do that to each other. If somebody has a struggle in life, the first automatic response perhaps can be, you must have sin in your life. So therefore, I will judge you versus finding out the whole story. And we see the psalmist here is confined and cannot escape. And we see in these scriptures too that it talks about the dead, the grave, the place of destruction, the darkness, the land of forgetfulness. But if we think about that, there's still hope in the midst of our lives as we challenge ourselves and we go through these things. Verse 13, but I cry to you for help, Lord, and this morning my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I've suffered and been close to death. I've been born your terror and I am despair. When you read these verses here, I get the sense that this writer is feeling completely alone and abandoned in your life. And I think many of us are going through that. Feeling alone and abandoned in a room full of people. Perhaps on a Sunday morning, we have our coffee fellowship. We hang out. But we feel so lonely and despaired because of what we're going through. We're like that duck on water. Looks so calm on the surface. And yet that duck is just paddling little feet just to stay afloat. And we sometimes feel like that way as well. But we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. And like I told you at the beginning, this psalm is full of despair. But in the midst of all of this, we can be encouraged. It says you're crying out this feeling of terror, like David, that he sought out the Lord in the morning in his life as well, that we would do this as well, that we would come and seek him out in the dawning of a new day, to seek him out in our lives, and our prayer would come before him. And that we'd recognize that when we see this idea of the psalmist feeling like the Lord has hid their face, his face from me. Maybe you feel that way. It's repeated as well that this person is suffering. And we see that today in this world that we live in. I hate to break it to us, but the fact of the matter is there are people going through exactly what the psalm is talking about. Let's not kid ourselves. We have to be real about this. I don't know about you guys, but I don't like faking it till I make it. It's just not fun. It's so tiring. And maybe you need that relief to understand that you can't do this on your own much longer, and you need help, you need support, and you can be honest about your despair. We can do that. Verse 16, your wrath has swept over me, your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They've completely engulfed me. You've taken me from me, my friend and my neighbors. Darkness is my closest friend. Wow. Imagine putting that in a Hallmark card and sending that to someone. These are heavy words. These are hard things. And we see, as this continues, that in the affliction that is going on, there's a crisis. But this isn't a crisis of faith, necessarily. Maybe it was, but it's not about unbelief. See, we can go through our lives spiritually and question our faith, meaning, why am I going through this? And it's a question we often have asked. I think the question sometimes I'd rather ask is saying, well, why not? What makes me any special than anyone else? So why ask the question, why am I going through this? The question might be, why not? And so maybe it's not a question of having a faith crisis, and it's maybe not a question of even having no more faith or belief, but we're just in it, and we're feeling engulfed, and we're feeling overwhelmed. And we see here there's no answer from God. There's this continued crying out to God. And that's the encouragement we should be doing in our distress, in our despair, that we continue to agonize to God and we reach out to him. And then in the midst of all this too, that we'd be careful too about how we feel towards God in these challenging times. Does anger come in? Does bitterness come in? Does blame come in? See, those are roots from the enemy. And we focus so much on our circumstances, we forget the goodness of God. Because he is still good in our life, even when we're going through it. He is still good. Amen? I hope you believe that. That doesn't mean that when somebody's going through something that all we tell somebody is God is still good. Yes, we still remind them, but we still walk through the journey of darkness that they are going through to understand that in the midst of our pain, that we, in our state of mind, in our darkness, we might feel that we can still draw close to Jesus. And even though it might feel uncomfortable when we're going through these challenging things to express what we're going through, God still acknowledges what we're going through. He sees our state of mind. If we believe he sees everything, why do we not fully understand and grasp that he sees all of this as well? See, our faith requires grief. It's part of the journey. It comes with it. They're not mutually exclusive. We will go through these things. You don't have to have it all together. And that's what we've been talking about through this series as well. We should be more comfortable as Christ followers to express our grief, not just to Jesus, but with each other as well. See, God joins us in our grief. He joins us in our pain. In our humanity, he sees what we go through. And we sit with him and he sits with us as we sit with each other. And in the midst of all this too, we need to understand that we have to take space to breathe and to find space and in the pressure we're feeling. And sometimes life does hurt. And we see that in these passages here. And as we cry out to God, as we lament to God, it doesn't mean our circumstances will change. But what is our posture? Our posture matters. I want to remind you that in the midst of darkness, there's still light. There's still hope. Even though you may not see it in the moment, to understand fully what we did this morning when we came to the communion table, it reminds us of the hope that we have because we've been reconciled to God the Father because of Jesus. And we see the psalm, it ends on a dark note, doesn't it? It doesn't end well. But our life doesn't mean that has to end that way. We still end with hope because in the lens of eternity, we have joy, we have hope, we have peace. You may not see that this morning. You may not sense it today in your life. But in the lens of eternity, we have that. Jesus suffered. Let's understand that. He can relate to what we were going through. Jesus was betrayed. He was tortured. And yet in the midst of all of it, he demonstrated his love for us. See, Jesus gives us hope. Even when we were overwhelmed with sorrow and pain, and say maybe we've asked that question, God, why have you forsaken me? And many have asked that question. But we know that Jesus went to the cross and he endured death. And because of that, we have hope. And I know for some of us this morning, when we hear that, it may sound like the Sunday school answer. But the reality is, what else will you turn to for your hope? That is not fleeting. That is not vapor. That is not temporary. Jesus is eternal. And even in the darkness of days, you still are able to see a glimmer of hope because of what he's done for us. And I want to encourage you that this morning. The gospel tells us we have hope. That we are not hopeless. That Jesus walks with us. We are reminded that God can use the biggest circumstances in our life to bring glory to himself. So when we get through a crisis in our life, who do you give glory to? Well, I did it all the work. Yeah, we play a part in our recovery, 100%. However, at the end of the day, it is Jesus who took you through that trial. And you're better for it because of him. And when we get through these things, we point to Jesus to know that we're fully with him and never alone. Even though there are moments where we feel like the darkest of days is coming. And perhaps we're living that this morning. Hebrews 12 says this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the trailblazer, the one who started it all. The pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Did you capture all that? What do? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Our gaze is upon him, not our circumstances. It doesn't mean what we go through isn't easy. It doesn't mean it isn't hard. But we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And what does it say here at the end of the scripture? That you will not grow weary and lose heart. I hope you're encouraged by that. A couple of reminders as well. John 1 says, I am a child of God. Colossians 2, I am complete in Christ. Ephesians 2, I am God's workmanship. Ephesians 1, I am blessed. 1 Corinthians, I am victorious. In Romans 8, I am more than a conqueror. Amen? These are reminders for us this morning. If you need to take a screenshot of that, if you need this, I can send it to you. You put it on your fridge. You put it in your car dash. You put it on your phone. You put it in your mirror in your bathroom. Wherever you need to put it, reminds you that you are a child of God. And whatever is going on in your life right now, the enemy of your soul, who's coming to overwhelm you, to come here to kill, steal, and destroy your life, know this. Know what you see on the screen. And lean into that and live into that. When we focus on this, the waves of life will come. They will come crashing down. There is no doubt. But we will not be overturned because of Jesus Christ. And I hope you know that this morning. You are more than a conqueror. You are a child of God. You are complete in Christ. Where's your identity? Your identity is in Jesus. You're God's workmanship. That means he created you to be with your gifts, your abilities, the strengths you have, and also the weaknesses you have. He created you to be something. You are blessed because of Jesus. And what? You are victorious because of the cross and the resurrection. I hope you know that this morning. As I wrap up, a couple questions to consider too. Just simple ones to consider today. In what ways is fear robbing you of your faith today? Has the fear of circumstance and the sense of being overwhelmed completely taken away and robbed you of your faith? And as we remember this morning, we came to the table. What can you do today to remind yourselves that Jesus is with you? Because he said he is with us to the end of the age, which will never end. What do you need to remind yourself of that? Do you need to journal today? Do you need to read some scripture? Do you need to put on a worship song at your house and dance unto the Lord? Whatever it is you need to do, I encourage you to do that. And finally, this week, how can you reach out to someone? Whether in the context of the church body, for those watching online, your neighbor, a coworker, to help them renew the peace that you need and the hope that you need. I think it's an important thing to understand that we do ask others for help. There is nothing wrong with that. It doesn't show weakness at all. I think it shows a dependence on God and the community of believers that we're surrounded by. Friends, I know it's a lot to cover. I know that you might be despondent this morning because of the psalm, but I want to understand this thing. It's there in the Bible. So we can talk about these things. As we wrap this mental health conversation up, it doesn't mean the conversation's over. So if you need to pray with someone this morning, I'll be available, the worship team people available, others as well. Come pray. So we create a safe place for one another. As we walk with Jesus, let's pray. Lord, it's a lot to consider this morning. And I think of those today that are needing a reminder of your faithfulness and your goodness in the midst of some very, very difficult things that are going on. Lord, I pray people would know and recognize that you have not given up on us, even though we may feel that way. You've not walked away from us, even though we may feel that way. Lord, help us to focus on you and not our circumstances. I know it's easier said than done, but Lord, I pray that our eyes are fixed on you, our gaze is upon you. And in the turmoil of our soul and the darkness of what we might be going through, that there would be just a sense of light in that. That Lord, you would sustain us. And not just sustain us, but we would thrive in the midst of what's going on. And that when people ask, even in the midst of darkness, how are we holding all together? We point to you. What a testimony. What a way to witness. And yet in the midst of all this, Lord, if we need to come and share our heart and cry out to you, and we have not done that yet, I pray, Lord, when we decide to do that perhaps today or this week, whatever that moment looks like, that your Holy Spirit would meet us there. That as jars of clay are broken, that you'd build us back up. Lord, as we continue to worship you now, help our hearts to remember who you are in Jesus' name. Amen.